Every Friday, we close with a news and notes snapshot. This week, we'd like to introduce you to Patrice Gaines. As a younger woman, she was drawn to abusive men and drugs, and she even landed in prison. But eventually, Patrice turned things around. She studied journalism, earned a coveted reporter's job at the Washington Post. Now 58, she recently decided she'd had enough of the big city. So Patrice moved to a quiet South Carolina community called River Hills. She'd never even heard of the place until her daughter brought home a tiny ad for a condominium there.
The photo showed a tree-shrouded paradise. All it needed was water. And with a name like River Hills, we figured a babbling brook or quiet lakeside beach couldn't be far. I called my realtor friend Thelma, and we headed for the place in the teeny photo. We drove over rolling hills, past light-dappled ponds, a community garden, even a sprawling green golf course. I thought to myself, you'd have to work real hard to be mean if you lived here, Patrice. Before I moved in, I brought a black writer friend from Washington to see my new South Carolina oasis. "Where are all these white people going?" she asked. And that's when I first paid attention to the fact that there were lots and lots of white people out and about and no black people. "I don't know," I said, "but wherever it is, I will be walking there with them soon." It turns out they were walking to the river, to Lake Wylie. It's spelled W-Y-L-I-E, and strangers mistakenly read it as Willie. From early morning till late evening, people walk back and forth to visit the cozy beach at South Point or to sit on one of the lakefront benches and take in the scenery. On move-in day, a woman from the Homeowners Association welcomed me to the River Hills Plantation. I burst into laughter. Only then did the unfortunate choice of words hit her. "It's okay," I assured her. "I tell my friends I've returned to the plantation, only this time I'm paying to live here." Shortly after I arrived at my new house, my next-door neighbor walked out to greet me, her husband by her side. "Hello," she said. "You won't believe this, but I'm Martha and he's George." "Martha and George Washington?" I asked. "No, Radziminski," she said, and we both laughed. 2 years later, Martha and I are practically sisters. She can keep up with my quick barbs, my sarcasm and deadpan humor. We both love thrift stores and yard sales, cheap breakfast cafes, and people. She's a white South Carolinian whose mother died when she was 13, so she was raised by an aunt and her father, a judge. I am a black woman, the oldest of 7 children, raised all over the Southeast because my father was a career Marine. On warm evenings, Martha and I flip-flop our way to the pool just beyond the trees in our backyard. We stand in the cool, crystal-blue water and talk for an hour, then choose a patio to sip cocktails under the stars. I have a black friend who recently announced that she had found a neighborhood similar to mine in Georgia and that she and her husband were going to buy there. But she said she often found herself wishing all the people there were black. Another friend, who is also a Washington, D.C. transplant now living in Charlotte, once asked me if I miss seeing black people. I admit, some days I long for someone else with hair as kinky as mine, someone with the same cultural reference points. But most days, the black woman in the mirror is enough to satisfy me.
That was writer Patrice Gaines with this week's Snapshot. Her latest book is called Moments of Grace, Meeting the Challenge to Change. We'll check in with Patrice now and then for an update on those breezy Lake Wylie evenings. To hear previous snapshots, go to our website, npr.org/newsandnotes.